as I mentioned earlier, Zechariah, outside of Isaiah, has the most prophecies about Jesus and the kingdom over any other Old Testament prophetic book. But tonight is a reminder. Remember, Zechariah also happened after the captivity and was given simultaneously with the times of Ezra and Nehemiah. So remember, Ezra was sent back to rebuild the temple and the city of Jerusalem, and then Nehemiah was then sent back to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. And God used Zechariah to encourage them, as we saw earlier in the book, and that continues tonight here in chapter 4. We'll just look at verses 6 through 10, but it's a great encouragement to all of us, this truth found in this passage. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth." So by my spirit, let's pray. Lord, I love you and thank you for the privilege of meeting. Lord, these 14 weeks you've allowed us to meet, and we thank you for that. And we thank you for your word and the privilege to open it together, and pray now the Holy Spirit would use it in our lives. Lord, as we especially think about your power, may it remind us, Lord, that that is the only source of power for us. So, Lord, may you be glorified in this time. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. You and I do not have any power or any might. It all comes from God. Go to 1 Corinthians 2 if you would. This is one of the keys to the Christian life, is learning to live and walk and be led by the Spirit of God, rather than trying to do things in our own strength and our own power, realizing we don't have any. And it must be done in the power of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So when Paul was writing his first epistle to the church at Corinth, he acknowledged he wasn't the greatest speaker. He didn't have the greatest physical presence as a speaker, but his preaching wasn't about him. And it didn't come from his own ability and his own power. As he said here, it came from God's power. And that is why great things happened. While you're in Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians this time, chapter 4. God wants us to realize that the day we were born again, he moved in. And he didn't just move in willy-nilly, he moved in for a purpose. And one of the primary purposes was to empower us to serve him. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency, the power, may be of God and not of us." I used this verse today over in Potatadu. We are just sacks of dirt. We were made of dirt. And after we get saved, we're a saved sack of dirt. But God says that the excellency, the power may be of who? God. When anything happens for the cause of Christ, it's God that needs to get the glory, not man, because man didn't do it. God did it. And if man did it in his own strength, then it was completely a waste and useless and will accomplish absolutely nothing. And you, while you're in 2 Corinthians, you go to chapter 12. The Apostle Paul had to learn this the hard way. Remember, Paul, before he was saved, was a very educated man. He spoke multiple languages. He had been trained at the feet of one of the Jewish masters, if you want to call him that. And sometimes Paul needed a bit of humility from God to be reminded that it was about God's power and not Paul's amazing abilities. So God gave him this thorn. We don't know what it was, but he gave him the express purpose of teaching him reliance upon the Lord and his power rather than doing it in his own. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure. So Paul admits, why did God give me the thorn? Well, Paul has now learned, lest I should be exalted, lest I should exalt myself because of my abilities, my education, my knowledge, lest I should be exalted. He says, a thorn was given unto me. So Paul realized, after the fact, of course, why he gave the thorn. He said, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, this is Paul speaking now, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ, there it is, the power of Christ. He said, I had to be taught from God directly that I must do everything in the power of the Lord rather than in my own strength and in my own power. And that's what God was saying to the builders of the temple, to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And that is the only source of our power. We must realize, go to Luke chapter 24, our power comes from God. Amen? It is from on high, and it is received. It is something that God gives to us when we are saved. Luke 24:49. Jesus here talking to the disciples, and he said, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So he's about to leave the earth. He's about to send back to heaven. He doesn't say to the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel yet. He says, I want you to wait. I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to wait until something happens. They didn't know what that something was going to be. They just obeyed God and they went and waited in the upper room, 120 of them. And they prayed and they said, well, Lord, whatever you're going to send, we'll wait. You said we'll know it. Well, they sure knew it, didn't they? That began what we call the church age. The Holy Spirit indwelt man. But God gave the purpose of it here, didn't he? Until ye be endued with power from on high. From on high. Remember when Jesus was about to leave, he told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. It wasn't a permanent event yet in Acts chapter 1. Jesus hadn't ascended yet. And he even told us in John chapter 7 that the Holy Ghost wouldn't be sent to indwell man until Jesus had been glorified in heaven. And so began what we understand today, something new. Man being impermanently dwelt by the Holy Ghost of God. So go to John 15, verse 5. Jesus explained it this way. Very well-known truth, but one that we must be reminded of constantly, and we must always remember when we set out to serve God, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by His Spirit. John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Look at this last phrase. For without me, ye can do nothing. And we're going to get to the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Many of us will have some disappointments because of all that we chose to do in our own strength and in our own might and in our own power. We tried to do it without Jesus and it was nothing. It accomplished nothing. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. It must be through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. How many times in the New Testament are we told to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:17. Walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We must be led and controlled and empowered by God's Holy Spirit if we want to accomplish anything for the cause of Christ. That's why we must start off our day yielding to God so that He can control us. The power's there and the potential is there, but God doesn't force Himself upon us, does He? He leaves it up to us. Because we're told in Ephesians 4:30 that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 that we can quench the Spirit. Well, who does the quenching? Who does the grieving? We do. Through our behavior, through our neglect of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. So He's there. He's come to empower us that we might accomplish things for Him. So go back to our passage, Zechariah 4. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And then down to verse 10, he says, for who hath despised the day of small things? When the temple was finished, it wasn't as beautiful and as glorious as the original temple of Solomon. For one thing, they didn't have all the gold and the brass and the silver that they had the first time. And if you go back and read in Ezra, there were actually some people who were alive who had seen the first temple and then they saw the second temple. And while most of the people were shouting, yay, we have the temple back, some were crying. Wow, this temple doesn't even compare to Solomon's temple. And that's what God is talking about primarily. He's saying, who hath despised the day of small things? But He's also trying to teach us a lesson about His power. And if you would look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God often chooses the small thing, often intentionally chooses the weak things to carry out His will, because the small things and the weak things are more likely to depend upon Him. He told a small group of people to go into the entire world and preach the gospel. 500 people. I want you to go into the entire world. Wow. He told one man to whittle down his soldiers to 400 before they took on the Philistines, an entire army. His name was Gideon. Who hath despised the day of small things? He told one man, not a group of men, not an army, but one man to go take on Pharaoh. His name was Moses. And here in 1 Corinthians 1:27, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why does God do it this way? So He gets the glory. We're just a vessel made of dirt. But we have vessels to honor and we have vessels to dishonor. Right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And too many Christians today want that glory. They want that praise. And so that's why God often says, well, I'm going to choose the weakest. I'm going to choose the basest. I'm going to choose the foolish to carry out my will, because then God gets all the glory. How did that person accomplish all of that? Because God did it. Man didn't do it. God did it. Who hath despised the day of small things? Isn't that a beautiful phrase? As you look back again over the Old Testament, many of the stories, God chose just one person or just one little group to accomplish great things. So he would get the glory, because man couldn't have done it any other way. But God gets the glory when this happens. And so what is he telling us? We have to rely on his Spirit to accomplish anything for the cause of Jesus Christ. Because he reminds us back here in Zechariah 4, verse 10, at the end of the verse, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. God is always watching, but God is also always in control. But what we are reminded of tonight is God gives the power. We, though, must be willing, go to Romans chapter 6, we must be willing to give him control. Romans chapter 6, quickly. Talked about this in Metallity today, but this word in verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Give way. Give him control. So what God is teaching is, if we want to accomplish anything for the cause of Christ, the only solution is to accomplish nothing for the cause of Christ, because he must do it. We must yield to him. That's why every day we not only need to spend time in the Word, as we talked about this morning, and time confessing and praising and praying, but we also need to take some time to yield. Say, Lord, I'm yours. And we are his, right? Are purchased with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We're his. He already bought us and owns us. But now he wants us to say, yes, Lord, I'm yours. I give you my life today. I give you everything. So I pray that you'll guide my steps. You'll guide my words. You'll protect me from evil, just like Jesus gave us in the model prayer, Matthew chapter 6. But I pray that what gets done today for the cause of Christ, it's you that's doing it through me, and not me doing it in my own strength. Classic example. You've been teaching Sunday school for 20 years. It's very easy to say, I don't really need to pray. I don't really need to commit this to God. I've been doing this for 20 years. Let's go to church and teach Sunday school. Right? Why pray? Why take the time to pray about it and commit it to the Lord? Well, because it needs to be done in his power. That it's very easy to fall into that trap and say, you know, I know what I'm doing. Even preaching. Even witnessing to the lost. It's very easy if you've been doing it for a while. You've witnessed to hundreds of people to just, well, I know how to do this. I don't need to ask for God's strength. I don't need to ask for God's power. The problem is, if you don't, then it's you witnessing to that person rather than the Holy Spirit witnessing to the person. And you don't have the power to convict that heart. Only the Holy Spirit does. Hence, you have a serious problem on your hands. And we have that whole cultish movement out there thinking if you can just get people to bow their head and pray a prayer, they're all going to heaven. No, that's not what saves, is it? Jesus saves. And only those who understand who he is and what he did. So it has to be done in his Spirit. Everything. There's no limit to this. Not by my and nor, not by power. He's talking about man's power. But by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Good memory verse. Just that little last phrase. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. To remind us every day that the things that God wants to accomplish through me today can only be accomplished by God himself through the person of the Holy Spirit. If I try to do them in my own strength and in my own wisdom, I might get some things done, and it might look like there are some results, but it means nothing. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. By my Spirit, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for reminding us the simple truth tonight that we can